Okay, we're calling to order the Pacifica National Board National Finance Committee meeting today, May 10th, at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, or actually 5:23. This is Mark Roberts serving as Chair Pro Tem for today. Our Secretary Pro Tem would be Marnie. And Marnie, can you call the roll, please?
Yes, Patty Heffley.
Present. Present.
Garuti.
Present.
Mark.
Present.
Jane.
Here.
LaVarne. Marnie.
LaVarne will be on in a little while.
Casey is excused. Mike Martin is not here. Sandy Weinman from Texas.
On the phone, darling.
And Lonnie.
Here.
What about me?
I thought I said you, Dave.
Did you? I didn't
hear you. Sorry if you didn't hear me. I've got you down.
Okay.
Okay, so we have quorum?
Yes, we have seven people on the line.
Okay, I'm looking at, it was the suggested agenda that was floated by the chair, Mike Martin, for today's meeting. It called for a call to order, which we've done, an approval of the agenda. Quarterly report from Lonnie Hicks on the...
Pardon?
It says quarterly report PMB 2005 budget as per adopted by NFC resolutions. Lonnie Hicks, I guess it was Lonnie's report, 45 minutes. Then it calls for a working group report on anti-racism and diversity, fiscal impact, a working group report on the resolutions related to the reporting of variances, a confidentiality agreement that Mike Martin was going to present, so that will probably have to be stricken, as well as proposal for policy to require fiscal impact statements for all PMB new revenue and resolutions related to that also to be presented by Mike Martin, and then finally the creation of a working group to evaluate the cost of a bylaws convention. So that's what we currently have. Are there any other items or any adjustments?
Yeah, this is Dave. May I speak?
Certainly.
The thing that we're really focused on here in L.A. is the role of the LSB in the construction of the budget. And I'd still like to have an item where we talk to Lonnie or hear from him about the way in which he sees the relationship between the staff, himself, and the LSB in the construction of these budgets. And
okay.
So I'd like to have that as an item.
Lonnie, you on the line?
Including timeline, most critically.
Right. Now, is your report going to focus, because here the preliminary agenda discusses the 205 budget. Will you be touching on the 206 budget and the timetable, et cetera?
Not prepared to present the FY06 budget. We have that on for our next Finance Committee meeting.
No, I don't mean to present it, but to discuss the procedures, timeline.
Yeah, I can touch on it, sure.
Okay, so we can add that portion. Anything else that anyone...
Marnie, I had discussed two things with Mike, and he said he would put them on, but frankly, I don't know that we'll have time. But I had wanted to just have a brief discussion about the reasons for the inspection at WBAI. Stating flat out up front, I have no problem with the request. I would just like to be informed on the reasons. And also, I had... wanted to ask for some discussion about the Steve Brown allegations about embezzlement and fraud at WBAI. I found them very serious, and I wanted to know more about that. And then finally, I had wanted to just, I think, have a brief discussion about how the consulting fee line item is equivalent to the outside services line item in the audit, and that there isn't a difference, because it sounded like some people were thinking that there was zero consulting and they weren't looking at the outside service line in the audit. Those were three things I discussed with Mike, and he said he could put them on, but hey, if it can't happen, that's okay.
Point of personal privilege, Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I'm in New York right now, and I'm here working with the WBI group on the transition. I will have to leave a call in about an hour and a half, by 6:25 or so.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to let everyone know, so to put those items up top if possible that relate to me directly.
Okay. Any other additional items?
I just have a question. The item that Mike Martin was going to deal with confidentiality, is there anybody else that that has something that they want to discuss on that topic? Is there anything ready outside of what Mike was going to do?
Is that Jane?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I don't think that there is, and okay. Probably what we could do is move, we can have that be a business item that we could pick up by the next meeting. Ideally, by, I think it's the 28th, we should have a clearer sense of where Mike is and what contributions he'll be able to make. And we could probably revisit those things that he was shepherding at that time. Would that be work for you?
Well, it'll have to work.
Okay. How about then if we're striking those items related to Mike until we hear from him and have a better sense of where he is, then the agenda would be looking at the quarterly. We received the March's financials, and so we would have the report from Lonnie regarding March financials, and also a discussion about the procedures contemplated for the 06 budget process, internal procedures as well as timetable. I don't know if anyone on the phone call here is prepared to discuss the anti-racism fiscal impact.
I think we should give 15 minutes to it, Mark.
Yes.
Just to clarify where we are with it and what the next steps might be.
Okay. Who's part of? Can I ask who's on that working group?
I was on it, right? I was on it.
Well. Right.
Right. Marnie.
And Mike.
And Mike.
So does someone have a report?
Well, as I understand it, was referred back to us because there was a sense that the charge for finance was to look at alternative and multiple sources.
Well, before we get into the actual discussion of it, since we're just on the agenda item, I will leave it on the agenda, and at that point we can see what reports exist or where we are, since you said you can provide some information, correct?
Sure.
And then there are others on the fall. And if we don't have enough information, we can deal with that at that time. The only other item, therefore, was the resolutions related to the reporting of variances. I don't know who's on that working group. Is anyone from that group on this call?
Yes, I believe I am, but we haven't met. We haven't done anything. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Mark, I have one other point when you're ready.
Okay, yes. Go, Dave.
In terms of the budgeting process, there's also, we have a question about the process of allocating monies that we have as surplus and the process, particularly the status of our resolution to apply that surplus money to a budget for stringers in our news department. And so it's not just the budget process for 06, but also how revisions are being made at this point to the spending plan for 05.
Okay, I'll put that under the part dealing with procedures and hear what Lonnie and his feedback and open up the group for discussion on that.
Thank you.
So having said that, then, the agenda that it looks, the agenda before us is going to be a discussion of the March financials and the current fiscal, situation as revealed by those numbers presented by Lonnie, followed by a discussion on budgetary procedures with regard to the 06 budget, as well as timelines, and also discussion of the allocation, internal and external allocations of surplus funds. The other item then we would move to is a report on the anti-racism and diversity resolution, just an update where that group is, and then finally a discussion about the overall situation at WBAI. I, at this time, would like to entertain a motion that we approve that budget.
So moved.
That agenda.
I mean, that agenda.
Mm-hmm.
Any objection?
No objection.
Okay. Hearing none, then the budget is approved. We'll go to the first item, which is Lonnie. You're going to start with the March financials, and then we'll move into questions about the 06 budget predator procedures, okay?
Yeah, keeping in mind I have just about an hour.
Right, so.
Oh, we'll be brief.
Get right to it.
All right. Now, I think that the quickest way to do it is to work from the CFO report, where a lot of what's in the numbers is summarized right there for you. That would be the CFO report, sent out with the financials. If I can, I'll just take you through it that way, since I have a summary of the...
Lonnie, what date were those financials sent out?
Let me check.
They were sent the 6th of April.
I think Thursday or Friday.
The 6th of April.
Yeah.
Big files.
That's Friday.
Yeah, so. My mail crashed. I lost them.
I have it right here. Would anybody like me to forward it to?
Oh, please.
To who would like it?
Patty.
Yeah, CFO.
You want it, Lonnie?
No. I was just talking about that's what I'll be working from, the CFO report.
Okay. So I'm sending this to Patty and who else? Anybody? Okay, just Patty.
Okay, Lonnie, you can go. I just wanted to make sure everyone had it. Okay, go ahead.
Well, I start off that report with some summary points, and I make three points, really. One is that while we're on pace, and at this, the second quarter, halfway through our fiscal year, you end up with a one-month proviso, which I believe is so important for us. But we do, nonetheless, have several serious financial challenges at three of our stations. And I will go into that in a little bit of detail as I get down to it. The second large point is that we have what I'm referring to as a financial for next year perfect storm, which is that we have a number of costs and a number of financial challenges that, as we look at that FY06 budget, which we'll do next time, there's an issue of affordability on a number of items that we all regard as fairly crucial. So I will get to that point. Some of them you've heard before that I've mentioned. The third major point is that we are looking at a 90-day horizon, which at the last board meeting I did identify as crucial. The general managers produced a 90-day report. So facing the stations, and then I would suggest that people look at those 90-day issues. At the board, we did mention challenges from the CPB. We did mention challenges coming at us from several quarters on the national level. And the financial potential impact of those challenges we did discuss partially by talking about perhaps the need to look at what our financial reserves might look like, and which we might have to budget for if those challenges were to materialize in the way of legal battle and other expenses and costs. Okay, those are the three points that I made that I felt impacted our financial outlook over the next 6 months. I go to the February forecast where I recapture for you what the forecast was in February. And then I look at the forecast for March. Not much change to the bottom line. Forecast 35,000 as a positive variance for February, and it drops slightly down to 24,000 for the March forecast.
Lonnie, can I ask a quick question about those numbers? Are those numbers for just the surplus for the month or year-to-date accumulated?
No, it's what the forecast is stating, what the forecast will be for the network for each one of the stations as of September 30th, 2005.
Oh, that's the projected at the end of the year.
Yes.
Got it. Thank you.
Yes. I'm always looking to see how we'll actually end up. And what I, as I mentioned before, the process by which that is done is I talk to each general manager and business manager and look at all the, we already know what their line items are and those expenses through the six-month period. What we're then doing is projecting what those expenses might be over the coming 6 months. And that's how we get the two projections, how we get the projection. You know, some expenses are one-time expenses. They were there the first 6 months. They won't be there the second 6 months. And that's how we come out with projection.
And that variance is relative to a one-month reserve. So if you show 144,000 positive variance, that means you're that far above having your one-month reserve at the end of the year?
Correct.
Gotcha.
Correct.
Thank you very much.
That 1 month is not profit. I stress it. It is that 1 month that stations will need to tide them over. Remember, 1 month for us is about $1.5 million. We are a $16 million operation. We spend about $1.5 million per month. And that month is needed. We've had many discussions here at finance. In that next month after September 30th, to tide the stations over to the month of October. Some stations need it more than others, but almost all stations will need some portion of that 1 month, because they will have reduced or no income in October. So that 1 month will get spent, so it goes away. There are also serious issues.
Alani?
Yes.
I'm sorry. Just one suggestion while we're on these forecasts. Could we, instead of calling it expense forecast, could we maybe call it surplus in the future reports? Because I was looking at this, and I was trying to gear this to a particular expense line, but basically this is a summary of our projected surpluses, right?
Yeah, against that 1 month, yes.
Right.
Over and above the 1 month.
Over and above the 1 month. Well, it is projecting the 1 month, but it's, in this case, it looks like $24,000 above the 1 month.
And if Marnie could just chime in here, please. On his March statements, he does call it a surplus slash deficit before depreciation. So the written document uses the word surplus, Baruti?
Yeah, I think it does, right. Mm-hmm. The actual, detailed budget uses that terminology, but it's just he just has a slightly different terminology in his written memo. So I would just want to see if we could get those to be use the same title. It would be a little bit easier for me to follow.
What would you want to call it, the set of expense forecasts?
Surplus deficit forecast or something like that.
All right, point made.
Thank
Understood.
You.
Okay.
Okay, Lonnie, if you could continue.
Yeah. I got some serious issues here for us to look over. And one of them is the forecast for KPFK I won't go into. I want to go right to the three stations that I regard as troublesome, so that we have an accurate sense of where we stand financially on projection. Most stations are preparing for a drive here in the month of May, so these drives are crucial for at least three of the stations that I will talk about. The first will be KPFA, and KPFA is projecting a variance that looks like 77,000. And in my narrative, that is deceptive, and that's why I wrote the narrative, so that you'd have a sense of what's really going on. KPFA, in order to balance its budget through this fiscal, that is to September 30th, will have to draw something like $581,000 out of its cash reserve, that is cash that it had at the beginning of the fiscal. It had $752,000 in order to balance its budget. That's a huge number. The good news is that KPFA had that much in cash reserves to draw upon. The bad news is that they had to use it to this level, 581. And I met with the management team there several times, the business manager with Roy, the general manager with Marnie and others, and they have developed a plan to reduce their particular expenses toward the end of this year, which they had to use the 581, but the plan they're developing is to have that budget go back to balance by the end of next fiscal, or part of the FY06 budget.
Lonnie, can I ask you a couple of questions there before you move to the next item?
Yeah.
On the KPFA, because I'm not clear on this, I mean, that is a substantial departure from projection. Did it hit at one time, or has this been accumulating throughout this year? And what are the causes for it, the quick and dirty causes? Is it salary growth? Is it poor revenue production? Why would they come out so far afield from where they thought they'd be?
Well, a couple hundred thousand of it is because of unanticipated salary, and I know that sounds high, but it's about $150,000 at least. That's because they had GM's, Jim Bennett was interim and leaving the station.
Right.
And his salary has been a part of their, unanticipated part of theirs, and an extra expense in his salary, $65,000 or so, plus benefits, may get some up to $85,000 or $90,000. So
right. But what's the other part coming from? I mean, you had mentioned that before, but where's the rest?
They have a shortfall on the revenue side of especially in major donations, $200,000. That's the other part of that story. And you can look at those numbers and you can see where the variances are showing up for KPFA.
Okay.
They were over an amount of salary. That's also part of the story. A lot of it in hourly, more use of hourly than they had planned to use. A higher amount in various areas like development. The specific numbers are that they will miss their revenue target by 140,000 or so in the major donation area, but in overall revenue, they will miss their revenue target by $300,000. Their expenses and the salary side, again, another couple $100,000. All that adds up. And then a little overages in the administrative area, 40,000. In programming on projection, 90,000 or so. In the end, all of it added up. And
do they have a new fiscal person there, a new business manager or something?
Yes, she started in the middle of October.
Okay.
And she's wonderful. And if I could just add, if you don't mind, Lonnie, we did find that there were some budgeting errors where there were some salaries that were not budgeted, in part because they're grant-driven, but the grants have been received. They were expensed last year. It wasn't put into the budget this year. That also caused a problem. There are a lot of problems.
That's true. When they over-budgeted, you'll notice that KPFA, having a budget of $433,000, that's $540,000 more than they need in terms of 1 month. They did it because they were hoping to use the over budget items to do some capital equipment.
Lonnie, I have a technical question. You have a year-to-date budget and then a ZTD.
Oh, that's just supposed to be YTD.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so, just YTD.
But there are two of them that say YTD. Then there's two columns in this that say that.
Yeah, that will be... That'll be YTD for the six-month period or the quarter. Yeah, and then there's current that has a YTD in it as well for the current month.
Okay, Lana, you had mentioned three stations. You said KPFA. What's the next one?
And Marnie has one more actual question. Lonnie, could you please explain the grant income going down from budget by $124,000, which also affects the revenue line?
For KPFA?
Yes.
Grant income did not come in as was anticipated. And sometimes, do you want to go into that tech, you know, do you think about FASB here? Because that's going to be pretty arcane. But
no, it's $123,000 negative variance in the grant income CPB CSG line. I just thought it's a large number. It's over 100 grand. It's 26% negative variance for the year projected. Thought you might want to touch on it.
Right, you're right. That is the CPB grant number in the budget was budgeted by $123,000. So it created that negative variance. Yeah, the budget called for $478,000. The actual figure would be $304,000, so you see the difference there. Why did it happen? Well, you had a vacancy in that business manager position, and these things happen. So the variance has to be taken in KPFA's case with two big variances, one in their budget variance, where they over-budgeted for their 1 month, and they over-budgeted how much they thought they'd get from the CPP. Those two variances, that's $250,000.
Lonnie, can I ask one more question about the CPB?
Yeah.
You mentioned that it had to do with the business manager not being there.
Yeah.
Was it a report that was missed that made them lose that? I'm trying to get the linkage between the business manager and them not getting the grant income that they
in order to remember estimating CPB money, and they thought that they would being designated a minority station in more areas than they in fact were designated a minority station. So they were designated a minority station via staff, but not via listeners and the other categories. So the amount of money that they actually it's a matter of going to the CPB website. Looking at the formulas that are there and the estimates and coming back with a good number.
Okay.
I caught it. I didn't catch it. I don't know. We're wiser for how best to estimate that CPB money.
So can I just be clear? So they were those qualifying standards mean you get more money and you have lower thresholds to qualify. So basically what happened was they didn't qualify, so they got less money, and and they didn't qualify for certain funds. Is that correct?
Right. That's essentially correct. And, you know, that's the way the CPB goes. You're 18 months ahead on these budgets, and you're trying to guess what your CPB income might be. Okay. Moving ahead. The second station that I would highlight is KPFT. KPFT, while it's showing a balanced budget here, is actually working on the assumption they'll be able to raise $149,000 between now and September 30th through a variety of means, some special events, and doing a Willie Nelson concert they're contemplating, and also through adding some revenue for a day or so in terms of their fund drives. But $150,000 is a lot of money for KPFT, and everything depends on their being able to follow through on those plans. What's the prognosis? I guess my view is it's a wait and see. But I think that next month we have another look at KPFG to see how well some of those plans have in fact started down the road. But if we wait until May, June, summer being what it is around the network of low-income period, it might be too late to do much. If they cannot, for quite their best effort, then my recommendation is going to be that we look at a financial recovery plan for KPFT, which I would start to look at much as the same way we did at WBAI.
Lonnie, can I ask you a couple questions on T then?
Yeah.
We know that they've recently instituted a lot of programming changes, moving Democracy Now! Till 9, expanding a morning program, I guess with a more music base, and also moving Flashpoints and Free Speech Radio News. Are those all in an attempt to shake the money tree, or what's driving those programming changes? Do you know?
Well,
any of it related to the shortfall?
Yeah, their response, they have several responses, you know, the revenue response, which is, I mentioned before, but one of them is a programming change, I believe, is related and part of their plan. They lost audience, one-third, serious issue, and this is an attempt to regain some of that lost audience and presumably the revenue that may come along with it. And obviously, it's not an overnight. That's not going to happen overnight, but they have started, so... That is a part of their plan that I didn't mention and should have mentioned. They made programming changes.
This is Patty.
Yes, Patty.
You know, they got rid of World Cafe a few months ago, the NPR show, or whatever that is, PRI thing. And that may have been why the thing dropped. But, you know, they also didn't ever give a chance for the Democracy Now! At 7 a.m. to see what it would do, before they just reversed it again, before there has been a fund drive. So I'm not really sure if it's a very scientific approach what's happening over there. It's kind of sad. That's all.
Does Dave?
Yes, Dave.
One of the problems with programming changes right before fund drives is your old audience is looking around for their shows and your new audience hasn't found your new stuff yet. So it could mean that this fund drive might be a little shaky.
Now, Lonnie, the 150,000 projected shortage, is that in their 1 month or is that in their operating?
That's in their operating.
So, at the end of the fiscal year, we do not expect that T will have the 1 month in the hole. Is that what you're saying?
Well,
moreover, they may be 150 short just to make it to the end of that fiscal year.
Well,
does the 150 include the 1 month operating?
150, if I'm hearing you correctly, it will include the operating. In order to make their 1 month, they would have to raise the 150.
Okay, in order to make the 1 month, they'd have to raise the 150.
Not raising the 150 is serious because it means that they would not have money for payroll in October. So it's a serious...
Understood.
Yeah.
Any other questions on T?
Well, I have a couple. So what I'm seeing in the CFO report is a March forecast that shows them zero in their variance, which suggests that they're expected by the end of the year to have made up their 1 month.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
Where is that coming from if we're so far behind right now? Why is that projected to be at zero by the end of the year?
They're going to raise 150,000 between now and September. That's what I'm saying. That is their major assumption, that they will succeed at that. If they do, remember, 1 month for them is 108,000. So if they succeed, they would have the 1 month plus some. But if they do not succeed, then they're in trouble.
And what is the likelihood of success?
Well, let me not comment at this point. Well, I think that...
Have they done it before? I mean, is it unprecedented to do that between now and September, or is it something that they have done before? Have you seen a plan that makes sense to you? I'm just trying to get a sense, because that's going to affect that reserve that Dave wants to spend.
Yeah, sure. well, you know, my view would be...
He's a new CD player.
That, you know, if they get a Willie Nelson concert going, they can raise maybe 50,000, 60,000. So you're taking in pieces. Programming change as a way to increase revenue, as I think Patty pointed out, and I would agree, is a longer term prospect. That's an unknown. They may succeed, they may not. And even so. And then they have some other things they're trying to do with a direct mail deposit, they're trying to raise 30,000 or 40,000 with a direct mail deposit. I guess my view would be is they will maybe raise 80,000 or 90,000. I'm not sure about whether they can raise the whole 150. That would be my view right now.
Okay. And what's the next station?
That would be WBAI.
Okay. Talk to us.
WBAI is showing an $86 variance from the 1 month. But the challenge that they will have is that they have here in the spring drive, which is usually the weakest drive aside from the summer, a $1.1 million goal. And can WBAI raise $1.1 million in the spring? They did so in the winter, but spring is a slightly different animal, as most of us know around the network. So their challenge is if they miss by $100,000 or $200,000, say this spring, well, that's serious money. You know, then you're into $200,000 or $300,000 or shortfall from the 1 month. Well, $200,000 or $280,000 is for them 1 month's operating. That is to say, they would end the year with not enough to pay October bills. So long before then, we would have to act. So what we're doing is... seeing how their spring drive goes for the $1.1 million. And we've already, as I said, I'm here doing the transition planning right now with them. If you don't make $1.1 million, you miss by $100,000 or $200,000, the recovery plan that we've long had for WBAI will kick in. And that's one of the things we're doing here with now for the people.
What was the plan?
Well, the plan, we told the union folks this morning that, look, if we don't make go on the plan, you must understand that we may be looking at, first of all, reducing expenses any way we can, and if necessary, looking at layoffs. That plan we have discussed with them at least three times, so they're well aware of that need. And each time WBAI has pulled it out of the fire, and they may yet do so, but, we always stand ready when, in case, you know, that does not happen.
What is the situation with BAI and their rent? Are they staying put in Wall Street?
Where the money is.
Yeah, for the time being, Rudy probably can.
Okay. Any questions about BAI?
Yeah.
Okay, Dave?
Well, the February forecast was 14,000 shy. The March forecast is 86,000 shy by the end of the year. I'm curious what accounted for that change over the course of the month. Is that fulfillment? Is it some increased expenses? What is it?
That rent that they hadn't really accounted for.
Well, how could they not have accounted for rent? Did it went up unexpectedly?
The rent went up. That's part of it. And, some of the expenses come in. Look at where their overages are. You can see where those variances are coming up. And, you know, some of the revenue is off. The revenue was off by $40,000. You know,
is that because of fulfillment?
Well, you know, they're still doing fulfillment from the winter drive. And the fulfillment rate right now is like 68%.
For how much?
68.
Ooh.
And for them, their norm is around 73-75. And having that conversation with them this morning, they said, well, we will probably get to the close to our norm, which is 72-75%. But it takes a while, they're always saying, for these funds to come in. They come in over 3 months. They don't come in overnight. And the WBAI, some of the invoices in connection with that winter drive just went out last week, I'm told. So, you know, you are have a slow-motion revenue picture going on. So, you know, in being conservative, you don't want to overestimate the revenue. I generally try to get it right or, you know, be slightly conservative. So, as I say, next month we're back, and we're again, you know, having a look how this spring is actually going to go. Next, tomorrow, WBAI goes into drive. So
what did they do last year on their drive?
Pardon me?
What did they bring in last year on their spring drive? Do you know?
Not really remembering, but I think it's around 950.
In pledges or fulfilled?
That was their number. That was net. They brought in that 950.
Wait. When you say it was net, you mean that's how much got fulfilled?
That's what got fulfilled. Yeah.
But in
the year that we're seeing around the network and community radio as a whole, it's harder to raise money because we're not, you know, setting records that are. So $100,000 $150,000 is, you know, a long way from 950.
Well, I wanted to ask Baruti, but let me ask you, Lonnie, a question, because I'm always confused by this. When the stations, like, they're about to put together an 06 budget that they're going to present, and they present it first to you, and I imagine there's some discussion there back and forth, and then it's presented, of course, to the PMB, and they also work with the LSBs. If I'm a station and I've had difficulty netting 950, how am I allowed to float a budget that goes to 1.1 or 1.2? I'm never clear on how stations are allowed to project revenues that don't seem to have an historical reference or any rationale for why they would suddenly increase when it was a difficult time last year.
Well, if you look at the financials that I publish, you look in that column, BM, you'll see what they actually produced in the year from the audit, and in this case, WBAI. And they produced last year $2,829,000 in the listener support area. But they budgeted this year is $2,765,000. They reduced the target, not increased it.
Okay.
This is Patty. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Last year we raised about 960, I believe. I believe that was gross because we had a $1.1 million goal and we didn't reach it. So that would have been gross. This whatever we raised, $2.8 million last year, was based on 92 days, one out of every 4 days. So that's why the budget that was tried, the LSB last year passed, had significantly less money in it, was because of a possible donor fatigue of fundraising one out of 4 days. So I think that maybe clarifies. Clarifies the numbers, but it was 940 or something like that as a gross, not as a net.
Is there anyone else that had a comment about BAI? Because I know, Lonnie, you have some time.
I do.
Okay, we need to be quick on those because we do. I don't know, Lonnie, because you also want to talk about the 06 and all of that. So go ahead, Dave.
Just a question on all of these numbers, including but especially BAI. How volatile do you think they are? I mean, there have been some big shifts from last month. Are they going to shift by about this month the rest of the year, or are those? I mean, what's the flutter in those numbers that you think is reasonable to expect? Because without a plus or minus number next to it, it's a little hard to judge what we're looking at.
Well, you know, as I was saying, a lot depends on this drive that is The question is, well, will their numbers fluctuate even more? I say, and we'll know as we get through the drive 3 weeks.
Do you have a reason, a sense that you could say ballpark it's going to be plus or minus 30, 50, 100, or can you not tell right now?
Yeah, I really can't tell. I've done it in the past. WBA always surprises me because it's a New York station. They have a lot more resources than a lot of stations do. But, you know, worst case is they miss by 100 or 150. Best case is they make gold. And as Patty likes to point out, well, if they do, they'll go out 20, 27 days. So that's, you know, that's what I would say about WBA.
Okay,
right.
Ronnie. And going, getting one with your report, okay, you had mentioned the three stations, you know, A, T, and I, where there was some difficulties. Now, where were you now in terms of your report? Could you go forward? You haven't mentioned the other two stations and what you were leading up to.
Well, let me not mention the other stations except they look to be okay. And they will be close to our goal. And if I can, in the interest of time, with only half an hour or so left.
Okay.
Let me just say that... that what we need on the Finance Committee to do is, as I put in my report, we have to decide whether or not we want to go with this particular budget, knowing the circumstances, or do we hold off and look at this again next month, which it would be my recommendation, that you will have a better idea about WBAI, have a better idea about T, whether or not they can actually raise the 150. And then A, I think, will take care of itself. They have the money to go ahead and use. And I think we just move ahead with them. That would be, I guess, my recommendation.
I do have one other issue, Mark.
Yes.
Well, the national office, that went from 22 expected to 3,000. And I'm wondering, is that amount incorporating all that's expected to be spent as a result of the ED situation, or is that going to take another big hit? And if so, what size of hit can we expect?
Yeah.
What was that category, Dave? I didn't catch it.
If you look at the February versus March forecast, the national office was projected last month to have an end-of-year surplus of 22K, 22.6, and now, as of March, it's expected 2.9K, and so that's a change of $20,000, and I'm wondering if that incorporates any expected changes resulting from the ED situation,
okay,
or is that going to be over and above? And if so, how much?
Yeah, if you read my narrative there, you'll see that while that did go up, because I'm trying to accommodate more expenses that I see these come in through the door, I expect we will exceed, 10 or 15,000, because we have another mailing going out. I just haven't, been able to put a number to it yet, because we haven't, if this will be. But I'm not worried about us getting our 1 month. I think we will be okay. I may live to regret having said that, but I think we'll be okay.
Will you be on target to raise beyond the 1 month? Should we have to have contingency financing for some of the stations in trouble? Can we count on national for another couple hundred thousand?
That is my goal, Mark. That's what I was saying. Right now, national has its 1 month, but I am pushing beyond that to do another mailing, half a million or so, because I can see that we'll need network, the reserve, to help stations that may not make it. And so that's what I'm doing. My target is to have at least another $250,000 by September 30th as backup for all the contingencies we're talking about, everything from capital to legal battles we might be in or to stations having bad drives. My fantasy number is a half a million, but I only got to count on a $250,000. But yes.
Okay, because one thing, Lonnie, is when we get to the 06 budgeting, as you know, we will definitely be, we do have some impact rather between now and September with respect to the ED situation, possibly the hiring of, search firms and things of that nature. There will be associated expenses unbudgeted for, so we are going to have some flexibility or some cushion in the national budget, certainly to handle some of those unexpected expenses as a result of the EDs leaving.
Yeah, absolutely, and I'm really keenly aware of it. So that's one of the reasons I'm pushing to do another mailing before Dan gets out of here.
Okay.
On that point, I have an issue, which is that the mailings, a lot of the stations are telling us that their listeners are getting these mailings, and so there was concern expressed that those mailings are actually placing a drag on the station's ability to raise funds. And at some point, I don't know if now's the time, but I wanted to recommend that those mailings include a statement, that, a checkbox that says, I am a listener or I am a subscriber to whatever, each of the five stations. And if people check that, we have a formula so that the station gets some portion, significant portion of the benefit there, because otherwise that fundraising,
right,
it may look, make National look good, but it may,
right,
hurt the station.
Well, Dave, can we, I mean, we have a, when did you, do you anticipate a mailing going out, Lonnie, between now and the 28th when we meet again?
No, not before then.
Okay,
okay,
so can we put that item on the next agenda, because it's a little,
great,
more involved, and just focus in the last half hour that Lonnie has with the questions already before us?
Yep.
Okay, so could you continue, Lonnie, because remember, we want you to get through this and then also talk about what we should be doing locally at our stations in preparation for 06.
All right, let me just stop that quarter report. I also, I just want to mention the payroll detail that I did send along to you folks, and that remind you that it is confidential. And I did discover that there's some columns there that I thought had been deleted, but they were not. But at any rate, we do have detail around salaries, as we agreed to do, concluded with all my reports.
And how are you in compliance with the other National Finance in terms of those quarterly reporting that we had asked for at the PMB?
Well, the salary reports were part of the resolution connected with the quarterly reports, and that's what I'm following through on. This,
okay,
is
thank you. Okay, go ahead.
Now, if I can, I'd like to go to FY06. Because I think that this is the quarterly report, and I put the comments in there that I knew about, and I'm hoping we can follow up on it, but I'm concerned about FY06. If I could just deal with the issues that they brought up around, well, what should be the process for FY06 in my view as CFO, and what the challenges for FY06 will be. Remember, what we're doing is not trying to produce the FY06 budget, just produce the bullet points around an FY06 budget that we can carry forth to the June board and say these are the challenges that will be coming forth with FY06 budget. My conception of it is that we give the board some idea of, at this point, what looks to be the fundable components of that FY06 and the ones that are a problem. And we will then go back to work and see if we can solve those problems. I did that last year, but it's early warning. And so what, at this next Finance Committee meeting, I will come back after having done preliminary work with the stations around how FY06 is looking, what are going to be the challenges in actually constructing the FY06 budget.
So what is the anticipated role here for the treasurers and the LSB in formulating those key points?
Well,
what's the input strategy for the LSBs?
Well, you know, we're sort of new at this. But my view of it is that I need to work with those GMs and those business managers to a point of detail satisfied that their numbers make sense to me, okay, before I sign off on them. So have you talked about FY06, right?
Yes.
I'm saying that give me time to do that, which is in the next week and a half, because remember, by the 27th, we're going to come up with the bullets. That is the basic big-ticket priority issues for FY06 budget.
By the 27th of?
Of May, remember?
Okay.
So I'm coming by the 20th of May. I will have out to you what I have discovered working with the GMs and the business managers are the big-ticket and some of the scary issues that are challenges that are arising as I see in these FY06 budgets. So I'll have that. Then at that meeting,
so wait, let me interrupt you there. So treasurers who will be sort of shepherding their LSBs through that process should meet with their LSBs and ask them what they see as some of the budgetary bullet points and get that and, you know, have that information presented to the business manager, to you. I mean, how do LSBs weigh in on that That's will it,
you go through it in my conception.
Okay.
I think the treasurers it's appropriate for the treasurers now to be in touch with their GMs around the basic large ticket items, that is increases in union contracts, capital expenditure. And what we're trying to see is what's affordable. And then I think that this is the time for the treasurers to be in touch with the GMs. And, and through the treasurers to the finance committee. I think it's important to have the finance committee structure in place where possible. I think of the LSBs as being involved in the process in that that July-August window, just like we did it last year.
Gotcha.
They have their opportunity. But I think that the board on large ticket items, as a result of our May 27th, the finance committee needs to have to reveal what we have learned to the June board, so the board has an opportunity to see what the large ticket items are going to be, and then
large ticket items that did not appear in the 05 budget.
Yeah.
So these are new large ticket items that might be anticipated that we could present, and then later on, of course, we flesh it out between June and September when we actually present a budget. The treasurers need to help work with the GMs to understand what the what these large hits will be in 06?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and that was my list, I gave out my list. I think the budget, the convention, the bylaw convention we're planning is, we don't know how expensive that will be, and we need some notion. A number of union contracts will hit full force in 06 and only partial here. Decisions around capital needs have to be made. They haven't been made in 05, but in 06 they will be upon us. Issues around whether or not to have a contingency fund around CPB. So a lot of those things, I'm starting to discuss with the GMs and looking at the actual numbers. What's affordable here, what's not, what may end up being an unfunded item.
This is Patty.
Mark, this is Dave, yeah.
Okay,
Patty,
let's
also
hear from Patty first, and then Dave. Patty?
Two things. Let me go backwards first. On these union contracts being negotiated, are you going to make sure, or is someone going to make sure that the contracts being negotiated are the agreements are in line with our bylaws? Like in New York, they're not, and there's negotiations going on, and there's been none of the discussion of, like, this, how the general manager gets hired and everything. Those negotiations, it does not include those things in compliance with the bylaws. So I would, hope that no union contracts get signed around the network that aren't in compliance. So that might be something to pay attention to. And then I just would like to back up a moment to this report here and the national office year over by $118,000 in total development. Postage subscription, $48,000. Mailing services, $43,000. Subscription supplies, $19,000. We're talking like $105,000 or something. We're over here on printing, marketing. Can you explain what is that? Is that from that big mailing?
Yeah, we went for the revenue, Patty. And,
pardon?
We went for the revenue, which is to say we saw at this point that we could raise, $600,000.
Where is that in here? Can you show me the line where that money came in?
Well, on the donations line, that would be like 936.
Page 25?
Yeah.
936,
Yeah, well, March, under S-936, I think it is. I've got these things memorized. We raised $120,000 and against a budget of $20,000. So we really overproduced by $194,000. And we are now have another mailing that's still paying off, and we think we'll add another $400,000 between now and September. Where are we?
Okay.
I'd like to ask a question about that, too. Is this mailing, who's this going to? Is this outside our listeners? Is this outside the listener base into, like, the realm of other left groups or something?
Yeah, the way this last mailing went, 25% went to listener base, and 75% went to acquisition mailings. This is to other progressive groups that we sell to, like Nation and Sierra Club. And
can I ask a question? Has the...
Well, we need to we need to wrap it up, Patty.
Okay. This is okay. It seems to me this is a listener-sponsored-driven foundation, and the PMB really hasn't been the prize of going outside the listeners for the money. And I'm wondering if there's ever been a resolution brought that we are going outside now for a major amounts of money for outside the listener base. I think this is a policy question that has to be discussed before there's even another mailing going outside the listener base.
Well,
Dave, you were next on the stack. What did you have?
Well, it has to do with the way the budgeting process was described. And if the budgeting process is sort of a discussion between the ED and the manager about what can be afforded, et cetera, and then after that budget structure, and I heard things about conversations with the treasurer, but the way I envision it, the budget authorization process of the LSB is really where it's able to be involved in questions of the basic structure of the station. How are we going to do things? What are we going to be doing? You know, at our station, we've had some meetings. We're talking about, you know, what's going to be budgeted for outreach, what's going to be budgeted for news, what's budgeted for training, how is this going to be all done. And I understand that at a lot of stations there are a whole lot of budget constraints, but if the idea is, well, we can't actually do anything meaningful as an LSB, that's a real problem. If the LSBs can do something meaningful, it seems to me they've got to be intimately involved in the budgeting process before. So letting the manager know, these are our priorities for the station. These are the things, you know, discussing with the manager and coming to some agreement about what our goals are. And then it seems to me that the appropriate role with the CFO is figuring out how do we implement this set of goals that have been agreed upon at the local level, as opposed, and the role of the treasurer there is to be the liaison who gets the information, provides it to the finance committee so the finance committee can report to the LSB something about constraints. So the way I heard that budgeting process described, I really feel that it marginalizes those boards, and that budget authority is really one of the key things. Now, last year, I'll finish up.
Okay.
Last year, our LSB just agreed to sort of sign off on what got presented to them. This year, we're being proactive, and we have a good relationship with our manager, so we're talking about what various things we want. For example, things like intramural.
Dave, we
got to
really have to wrap this up.
I understand that, but this is really the
No, I know, but I got
thing.
Your point, but I want to hear from some of the other treasurers in the time that he still has.
I'll defer.
I would like to respond to it, too, in the time I have left.
Okay, can you quickly, because I would like
to
hear
defer.
From,
go ahead.
From
go
some
ahead.
Of the I, other treasurers on the line about how they see it.
Fine, that would be more valuable than me continuing.
Thank you, Dave. Jane, do you want to add anything? What's your feeling on between now and we have this May 27th date where the big items...
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I think that what Dave said is compatible with what Lonnie has been saying, because I think in each of our situations we have, we're at different stages with our finance committee. Here in PFW, we are involved with discussions of where we'd like to go, and we are discussing with our GM some staffing issues, which is a major budget issue. And like Lonnie said at the beginning, we're all kind of new at this, so we're kind of developing it. And I thought that what Lonnie said was a good. It's kind of like an outline right now. I'm pushing as hard as I can to get details from our GM, and hey, I'm a little bit disappointed in what I'm able to get so far, but all right, we're going to deal with this. But I think that that the way Lonnie described it is adequate to allow for wherever we're at, because our finance, we're all volunteer boards, and you know, we're all engage to the greatest degree possible, and so that's my take on it.
Thank you very much, Jane.